Yeah, actually, they asked me for a title, and I gave them a title, but it was just a title. I don't know if what I'm going to say has anything to do with the title, so if you post it, just think of a different title, maybe. So I was thinking what to talk about. It's not always so clear to me in this framework what it is exactly they want me to do. Halacha, Haggadah, Drush, current events. So I guess whatever I want, but that's sometimes the hardest. So anyway, what I thought I would do is I would talk about a couple of insights in the Parsha that also I think have a relevance and have an intersection with our lives. So I'm sure many of us have had the experience of going to shul, or maybe your parents have had the experience that you go to shul and you have your seat and there's somebody sitting in your seat and it's always uncomfortable to you. Ask them to move, it's not so nice, but on the other hand, you really want to sit in your seat. One of the, there's no right solution to that. But it reminds me, that's kind of situation, it reminds me of a Gemara in Brachas that talks about having a fixed place to daven. The Gemara says in Brachas, in Davov, Rav Chelboy, Omar Rav Huna, Rav Chelboy said, the name of Rav Huna, Kola Kevea Mokoim Litfilosoi, the person establishes a fixed place to daven, Elekei Avraham Be'ezroi, then the God of Avraham helps him. And when after he dies, they say about him, "Ei onov, ei chosid." That was such a great onov who passed away. Such a great chosid, mitalmidov shel Avraham Avinu. See, he warrants these great titles for having a fixed place to daven. He's a chosid and an onov, and they remember him as a talmid of Avraham Avinu. The Avraham Avinu minayin shekava mokam litfilosai. And apparently, he's a talmid of Avraham Avinu. This must be something that Avraham Avinu did. Where do we find that Avraham Avinu was Kevea Mokim Litfilosai? The Chsiv, because it says in Pasuk, in this week's Pasha, Vayashkim Avraham Baboiker Ela Mokim Asher Omad Shom, that Avraham Avinu, after having davened for Stoim unsuccessfully, the next morning he woke up and he went back Ela Mokim Asher Omad Shom, to the place where he had stood the day before. Ve'ein Amida Ela Tfilo Omad, Amida means, implies davening, implies Tfilo. So it seems that Avraham Avinu is going back to daven again for Stoim. And then he saw that Stoim is destroyed, so I guess there wasn't any point. But his intention was to go back into daven again for Stoim in the same place. So you see that Avraham Avinu had this midah that he was kevea mokam litfilosi. When he went back to daven again, he went back specifically to the same place. So he's the model for someone who's kevea mokam litfilosi. So this is an interesting Gemara and a strange Gemara on several levels. First of all, why is it significant? What's so important about being kaveh mokum l'tfilosoi? All right, I could understand. Maybe it's helps your kavon a little bit, but so much so that after he passes away, when they maspid him, they'll remember that he was a kaveh mokum l'tfilosoi, and not only that, they'll give him this title. He was a chosid and he was an onov. He or she, I guess, he was a chosid or an onov. Or Talmid of Shay, and he was a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. Very, very strange. So perhaps there's a clue in this expression of Talmid of Shel Avraham Avinu, because that expression of being a Talmud of Avraham Avinu we find in another place as well. I don't even know where that's found. Yeah. Very good. Pirkei Avos. In Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says in Perakei, Mishnah Yutes, Kol mi sheyesh biyodoi shleishu dvarim halalu. If someone has the following three attributes, he's mitalmidov shel Avraham Avinu. Then he's a Talmud of Avraham. Ayin toiva. Ayin toiva means he's magnanimous, he begrudges other people, he wants what's best for others. Ruach nemucha, he's humble. V'nefesh shvela, which is another kind, it's not acquisitive. And then there's another three opposite midos that make him a Talmud of Bilam HaRosha, namely Ayin Ra'a, that he doesn't begrudge others. Which was begrudge? I always get it confused. Begrudge is the good or the bad word. It's always confusing because in Yiddish it's the opposite. That probably doesn't confuse you, but it always confuses me. The fagin is to be an ayin toiva. To begrudge is an ayin ra. Right, so bilam is an ayin ra. V'ruach gevoya, v'nefesh rechava. So So that's the Mishnah, and that Mishnah also raises some questions, because you know, if you would ask me who should we choose as a contrast to Avraham Avinu, the Mishnah wants to juxtapose two opposite figures. So Avraham Avinu and Bilam, it seems sort of random. You know, usually you pick somebody who's the same generation. We talk about Moshe and Korach, Machlekes L'Shem Shemayim, Machlekes Shelo L'Shem Shemayim. We talk about Moshe and Korach, or we talk about, you know, talking about Yaakov and Lavan, people who are Mordechai and Haman, or Baruch Mordechai or Haman. But Avraham and Bilam, it seems like two names out of a hat. Avraham Avinu and Bilam, hundreds of years apart. We're looking for somebody who's not like Avraham Avinu. He's not an Ayin Tov, he's not a Ruach Nemuchav. So we could find other examples. We could find Lavan, Esav. We could find other examples. Why did the Mishnah see fit to contrast specifically Avraham Avinu and Bilam HaRosha? But we have there also this expression of Tamidov Shel Avraham Avinu. So what I want to suggest is that these two texts should be read together. The Gemara about Hakaveya Mokum L'Tfilosoi is Mitamidov Shel Avraham Avinu, and the Mishnah that contrasts Avraham Avinu and the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu with the Talmidim of Bilam HaRosha. And I mean the following. Avraham Avinu, he davened for the people of Sodom. Not once, but he tried again. He came back the next day. He wanted to daven for them again. Bilam also davened. Or he brought karbonos, which is related to davening. Tefillos and karbonos are different kinds of avodah. And he also brought karbonos. And what did he bring karbonos for? What was his avodah directed to? What did he want to ask the Ribbono Shel Olam for? To be able to destroy the Jewish people. So we have two kinds of tefillos that we can contrast right away. Avraham Avinu davens on behalf of the people who represent the opposite of everything that he stands for, but nonetheless, he davens that they should be saved. In contrast to Bilam, who reproaches the Ribbono Shel Olam and asks him, brings karbonos, that the Jewish people should be destroyed. So right away we see Avraham Avinu, he's an ayin toiva. He wants what's best for everyone, even for the people of Sodom. He'd like them to do tshuva, but he doesn't want them to be destroyed. And as opposed to Bilam, that's Ayin Ro'ah, that he's just the opposite. The Jewish people, he wants them to be, those are his enemies, he's going to try and get them destroyed. And also, both Avraham Avinu and Bilam make several attempts. Avraham Avinu davens to Sodom, and then he comes back again, and he wants to daven again. And Bilam also offered karbonos several times. As the Pasuk describes, first Balak takes him to Bamois Baal, and he builds seven mizbochis. And Rashi says seven mizbochis corresponding to the seven mizbochis that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov built at various times. And he brings karbonos. And he's also not successful. Avraham Avinu is not successful with his tefillos to save Sodom. And Bilam is not successful with his avodah, with his karbonos, with his service in order to get the Ribbono Shel Olam to destroy the Jewish people. So what does Bilam do the next day? The next time around. The next time he wants to try again, when it doesn't work the first time, he goes to a different place. He says, okay, it didn't work over here. I'm going to try to a mekayim acher, to somewhere else. Maybe in that other place, there the Ribbono Shel Olam will agree. Ulai Yosher Bein Hashem. Maybe there the Ribbono Shel Olam will agree to what we want. And we see here a pattern. Avraham Avinu davens for Sodom. He's not answered. So he wants to try again. But where does he go? El Hamokim Asher Omad Sham Barishayna. He's Kaveh Mokim Litfilosai. He goes back to the exact same place. Bilam brings karbonos. He also has something that he wants from the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's also not answered. But where does he go? He goes somewhere else, tries a different place. And then when that's not successful, he tries yet a different place, as the Pesukim describe. Doesn't work. In this mountain, then he tries a different mountain. Always El Mekayim Acher. And what Chazal are telling us is that this is a basic difference. Bilam, he climbs a mountain to build a Mizbeach, to ask Hashem that he should be allowed to curse the Jewish people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu refuses. So what is Bilam's reaction? Does he say, maybe there's something wrong with what I'm asking for? Does he say, maybe there's something wrong with how I'm asking? Does he say, maybe there's something wrong with me? No. Because Bilam is a Ruach Gavoya and a Nefesh Rechava. Bilam's Gava is absolute. There can't be anything wrong with Bilam. as far as he's concerned, and there can't be anything wrong with his prayers or with his karbonos or with his agenda. And if his prayers aren't being answered on this mountain, then there must be something wrong with the mountain. And so he has to try a different mountain. What a contrast to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu asked the Ribbono Shel Olam to save Sodom, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says no. 50 tzaddikim, 40 tzaddikim, 30, doesn't make any headway. And he goes home and he's discouraged, but the next morning he goes back, El HaMakom Asher Amad Shom Bereishono. Avraham Avinu works from the assumption that if he wasn't answered yesterday, the problem wasn't with the place, the problem wasn't with the shul, the problem was with himself. And therefore, it wasn't the view, and it wasn't the mountain, it wasn't the ambience, it was him. I need to daven better. So he goes back, El HaMakom Asher Amad Shom Bereishono, he goes back to the same place to try again. And that's the midah of nefesh shvela v'ruach nemucha. If he sees it's not going, so he assumes what needs fixing is not the place, and not the circumstance, and not other people, but Avraham himself. That's the meaning of being kaveh amokom l'tfilosei. There's a tendency sometimes, we see all the time, people daven in the same place for year after year, and after a while, maybe they start to feel, you know, it's getting stale, something needs to change. Maybe it's the rabbi, maybe we need a new rabbi. Maybe it's the ambience. Maybe it's we need to do something else. Maybe we need to change something in the circumstances. Maybe Adas itself we need a tweak. Maybe there's something else that we need to change. If it's not speaking to me, maybe something has to change. But the midah of Avraham Avinu, to be mitalmid of Avraham Avinu, is to be the person who says, who understands that what needs to be improved first is myself. He understands that if we want to improve our tefillah, we want to improve our avodas Hashem, we want to improve our yados, the place to begin is not where we daven, not with other people, not with the leadership. The place to begin is with me, myself. He looks to improve not his surroundings but himself. And that kind of person, that's what Chazal mean by a kaveh amokom l'tfilosei. Such a person is mitalmidav shel Avraham Avinu. And about such a person, they say, hey chosid, hey onov, mitalmidav shel Avraham Avinu. Wanted to mention, we talked about Avraham Avinu and we talked about Bilam. There's another important figure that in the parsha that I want to speak about, and that is Lot. Lot is a very puzzling figure, maybe the most puzzling figure in all of these parshas. You know, we have tzaddikim, so we understand the tzaddik is a tzaddik, and we have Rishoyim in the parsha, and we understand what a rosh is. Lot is a study in contrasts. On the one hand, the Torah presents Lot as a paragon of achnasas orchim. When he meets the malachim in the middle in the street, he receives the malachim. The Torah describes how he receives the malachim and how he brings them into his home with almost the exact same language that we find by Avraham Avinu when he receives the malachim. Avraham Avinu is the great machnas orchim. Linu v'rachzu ragleichem. Wash your feet, come to my home, I'll give you something to eat, everything, and I'll feed your animals. The same language that Avraham Avinu uses. And not only that, but he brings in the malachim, not knowing that they're malachim, he brings them into his home with great self-sacrifice. Because Lot knows better than anyone else that what it means in stone to bring guests to your house. He knows what a risk that he's running. And when the people come, the people of Sodom come and surround the house, and they want him to give up his guests, and he refuses. Also a great peril to himself. So on the one hand, Lot would seem to be this great from the Talmid of Avraham Avinu. He follows the example of Avraham Avinu in Achnasas Orchim. And yet at the same time, the very same Lot is described as Behu Yoshev Bishar Sodom. He's sitting at the gates of the city, and we know at the time of the Torah who sat at the gates of the city. the judges sat at the gates of the city, the Ziknei Ha'ir, and Rashi brings the Chazal, also Hayom Inu Shofet Aleh, that very day he had been appointed as a Shofet in Sdom. And the Pasuk itself says that the people of Sdom said to Lot, Achad, Herechod, Bo Logur, Vayishpoit Shofat. He became a Shofet among us. Somebody who rose to prominence and achieved success in a city like Sdom, Roim Bechatom Lashem Oid, and was able to serve there as a political leader and to get ahead, obviously he must have suited himself to the mores and to the practices of Sdom. So who is this light exactly? Is he a great tzaddik, a great machmas oreach, like Avram Avinu? Is he a Talmud of Avram Avinu? Or is he a Talmud of Sdom? Is he how do we get a handle on this person? So I think the key to the enigma that is Lot is in the Rambam, in Hilchos Deis, famous Rambam. The Rambam writes, Derech b'yosi shel odom, human nature is liyos nimshach b'deyosov u'memasov achareyo v'chaverov. Person is affected by his surroundings. Noye k'mineg anshei medinosei. He follows the practices, and the customs, and the way of thinking of the people where he lives. And the Rambam goes on, Lefichuch tzarachotem l'schaber l'tzadikim, therefore a person should be very careful to seek the company of tzadikim, b'lei sheveh selachachomim, k'dei sheyilmoid mimasayim. We all like to think of ourselves as independent thinkers. But human nature is that we're not that independent. It's very hard to be independent. We're all of us influenced by the opinions and by the values of the people around us. One way we can see it is by the way people's opinions cluster together. So for example, if you just take somebody off the street today in America and you ask them their opinions about a variety of issues. So most of the time, if you find somebody who's pro-life, they're probably skeptical about climate change. They're probably against gun control, against immigration, for constitutional originalism, and vice versa. Even though these are all issues, I'm not saying anything about the issues themselves, I don't care, but the point that these are issues that on the face of it have nothing to do with each other. They have nothing to do with each other. These are, right, what does climate change have to do with gun control? And yet you find 99% of the time, people who believe it take a certain position about the one, take a certain position, corresponding position. The people who are conservative in one, are conservative in the other. Why is that? I mean, these are totally unrelated issues. If everybody was thinking independently, so I would expect everybody would come to, you know, be all over the map. But we don't find that. I mean, we find that with rare individuals. You have the rare individual who has an idiosyncratic position that, you know, he's... But most people are not that way. Most people, it goes in a cluster. They buy into one belief, it comes with the whole package of unrelated issues. And why is that? That's because of the Rama. People are affected by the beliefs of the people with whom they associate. So when you have, because that's deep in human nature. So therefore, people share the beliefs of their tribe, of the people and therefore these beliefs tend to cluster together in a tribal way. I mean, it's not chidushim. We know this is everyday experience. But I think that's the clue, and this is a snapshot in time. This is just how it happens to be today that these beliefs cluster together. You know, some other time there are other beliefs that cluster together, or maybe they cluster together in different constellations. That's the way human nature is, and it's very difficult to swim against that. It's very difficult to really think through every issue on your own and come to an independent conclusion on your own. You tend to be affected by what people around us are thinking and saying and so on. But I think that's the clue to light. Lot, on the one hand, grew up in Avram Avinu's house. And in Avram Avinu's house, Avram Avinu was a house of Achnasus Orchim, where the doors were always open, and guests were always coming. And Lot copied that. He emulated that. He was influenced by that. And that's the behavior, therefore, that he learned and that he fell back on. But on the other hand, he never saw, in Avram Avinu's house, he never saw how to be a political leader. And if you are a political leader, you know how you should do it. He never saw how to be a shofet. Avram Avinu wasn't a shofet. He wasn't a political leader. That Avram Avinu never modeled for Lot. So when Lot went to Sdom, he was successful and so on. So he learned how to be a shofet. He learned how to be a politician. He learned how to be a yeshiv bashar from the people around him. Because Lot was a person who was subject to different influences. In some things, he was influenced by Avraham Avinu. In Chesed, he'd been with Avraham Avinu for so many years. So in Chesed, Avraham Avinu had an influence on him. But in other areas of his life and his personality, where Avraham Avinu wasn't able to model that for him, so he was influenced by other people. And it seems to us like a contradictory person, like a bundle of contradictions. He was a bundle of contradictions because he was influenced by contradictory forces and contradictory influences. And that's the opposite. That is also something which is the opposite of Avraham Avinu. Because Avraham Avinu exemplifies the exact opposite of that. Avraham Avinu is called, Pasuk says in Tehillim, Maskil le'esan ha'ezrachi. Chazal say that Esan refers to Avraham Avinu. Esan means firm, like Esan moshevecho v'sim basela kinecho. The Rambam in Hilchas Avodah Zarah, when he describes the career, talks about how Avodah Zarah started, and then he describes the career of Avraham Avinu, and the Rambam begins, Kevan shenolad Esan, Kevan shenigmal Esan ze. This Esan, this firm person, when he was first weaned, he began l'shaitet bedato and to wonder about how the mystery of the world, the tremendous mystery of the world, until finally he recognized the Ribbono Shel Olam. Avraham Avinu is called, Ram does not just choose his words lightly. Ram wants to describe, who is Avraham Avinu? He is the Esan, he's the firm person. Because Avraham Avinu is the person who stood against the whole world. The whole world was pagan, and Avraham Avinu stood alone. Avraham Avinu is called Avraham HaIvri. Chazal say, the whole world was Me'ever Echad, and he's from the other Eder. And this week, the Parsha here gives us a study in contrasts. Avram and Lot, they come from the same place. And Lot might be entitled to consider himself, probably thought of himself, as a Talmud of Avram Avinu. But what Lot lacked, and what Avram Avinu had in a surpassing degree, was the ability to be Esan, to stand firm and unmoved and unswayed by his surroundings. The irony is that Lot, who was influenced by the people of Sodom and became a Yoshev B'Shar Sodom, but he didn't really earn the respect of the people of Sodom. How did the people of Sodom talk about Lot? Echad bo lagur v'yishpot shofat ato'n neira l'chom mehem. Somebody, you think you could be one of us. You think that you came as an immigrant and now you think that you've really made it to the top. We're going to do worse to you than to them. And Avraham Avinu, who is the Avraham HaIvri, who stands apart from the people around him, how do the people around him relate to him? You're a prince of God among us. Avraham Avinu, dafka because he's not swayed by the people around him, dafka because he's the Esan, and to be an Esan means to be outstanding. Because how many people can be an Esan? Avraham Avinu earns the respect of the people around him, from whom he's so different, in a way that Lot, who tries to fit in and to get along, and Lot is not able to do. And that's one of the great challenges that we face, is how to be a sonim, how to be talmidim of Avraham Avinu in this regard as well. Because like Lot, we are also subject to different influences and dissonant influences. On the one hand, we learn Torah, try to imbibe the values of Torah. And on the other hand, we're obviously, we engage with society, and because we engage with society, we also lay ourselves open to the influences of the society around us. And in many, many ways, the values of the society around us are not complementary with the values of Torah. And we have the same choice. We can be a sonim, like Avraham, and hold firm to our age-old values. Or we can be like Lot and just be a mere mass of contradictions and reflecting one moment the example of Avraham Avinu and another moment the influence of Sodom. And we really always at a crossroads, and today especially. Because on the one hand, through the sacrifices of our parents and our grandparents and those who have gone before us, we have the opportunity today to have such a rich Jewish education and to live rich Jewish lives without fear of persecution. But we also live in a world in which the regnant culture around us has unprecedented power and reach into our lives and into our consciousness. We carry the culture around with us all the time. We carry it in our pocket. And if we have the choice as individuals and as an institution and as a community to be a sonim, firm in our ancient principles, and in that way, in fact, to earn the respect of people around us, or whether to be like Lot, the bundle of contradictions, and contort ourselves as we try to reconcile the fundamentally irreconcilable. So these are two ideas, I think, that speak to us out of the parsha. On the one hand, the idea of to be kavei mokum l'tfilosei. I'm sorry, of to be a sonim, to be true to ourselves, not swayed by the latest fashionable idea, or to be like Lot, one minute the machnas orchim, the other minute yeshiv b'sharstein. And also the idea of to be mitamidiv shel Avraham Avinu, in the sense of being kavei mokum l'tfilosei, in the sense that if we find our spiritual life wanting, we don't look to change the mizbeach, or to change yadus, or to change the ambience, or to change, but rather we look to move ourselves closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if we can do those things, then it will be able to be said of us, hey chasidim, hey anovim, mitalmidov shel Avraham Avinu. Okay. Any questions or not? Okay, thank you.